God prepares a table for us. God welcomes us at a great banquet. God provides all that we need. Let us now go to our God in silence, listening for His voice, admitting who we are. Oh God, You're present in our midst today, and yet our eyes do not see You. You speak through word. You sing through the Psalms, and yet our ears do not hear You. You feed us today at the Lord's table, and yet we are hungry. You touch us through the body of Christ, and still we sense that we are alone. Oh Lord, be present at our table. Be present to us and our neighbor. In the name of Christ the Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hear the good words. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. His broken body and His shed blood are the signs of reconciliation. In Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And all God's people said, Amen. When you made the world, O God, it was one. But we, the inhabitants, divided it into parts and then called them our own. We developed different languages and ways of expressing ourselves. We made many religions and originated many types of culture. And now we pay a price for it every day that we live. But we know that Christ died that we might once again be one. And that we might all desire your kingdom above our own. Because of Christ, there are disciples of His in every nation on earth, in every language, and in every culture. And we honor that today. And pray for His preeminence in all our lives and all communities. We exalt Him. We exalt Him in order that our lives may once again become one in You. And we ask that Your Holy Spirit may bind us together in prayer and worship wherever followers call upon Your name. Oh God, let love and fellowship prevail among us and transform the world around us. And Father, today we ask that You wrap Your loving arms around those who are also dear to us, to those that are in need to know of Your presence and the healing that You bring. And Father, may Christ preside over every table where Christians gather. And may our hymns and songs rebound to Your glory for Your mercy's sake. And Father, we rejoice in all the places that we can see where You have touched, but recognize that there are so many more that we don't see. Help us to think clearly. Stir us to feel deeply. Let the bread today be to us as the body and the cup as the blood. And receiving the seen, may we welcome the invisible presence of Him who is host at this table. And Father, we ask that You be with those who have left their families, who have gone and placed themselves at risk and in peril so that we may this morning gather together in this holy place without fear or jeopardy. Father, we ask that You be with those who each morning of each day rise up and go out to work so that we may come home in safety and in comfort. And Father, we ask for revival. For revival in this church, in the United Methodist Church, in all churches, the United States and across the world so that we can work with you, so that your kingdom as you envision it at creation can come to be. And now, Father, with the confidence of your children, we together pray that perfect prayer that Christ taught us, together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from Mark 14, verses 22 through 25. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. I tell you the truth. I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, for over 2,000 years, Holy Communion has been at the heart of Christian worship. The early church, every time they gathered, experienced the Holy Communion. John Wesley was so in love with Holy Communion that he wanted to take it each and every day of his life. You know, we've called it by many names over the years. We've called it the Lord's Supper, Mass, the Eucharist. But from the very beginning, followers of Christ have been brought closer to God and to one another as they have shared in this sacred meal. As we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are doing as Christ asked us to do. He said, do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. And as we do this and remember his life and his death and his resurrection, Christ himself comes and meets us at this table and gives us his gifts of love and forgiveness, guidance, and strength. I hope you grasp that, that today Christ is here with us at this table. He has come to give us sustenance, not just for our bodies, but for our spirit. That's why communion is so important for us. For the entire history of the Christian movement, this sacrament has been so filled with meaning and so important in the lives of Christian believers that words alone cannot quite grasp its meaning. Goethe once said, "The highest cannot be spoken, it can only be acted." Maybe that's why the sacrament has so much importance for us. Very quickly, we exhaust our vocabulary when we try to express the heart of the gospel in words. So we act it out in this sacrament. Here we remember Christ. Here we encounter the risen and living Lord. And through this sacred drama, we are drawn nearer, nearer to God and to one another. As I was being asked at times in some of my interviews for being credentialed and licensed, I was at one time asked to kind of explain this sacrament. And in many ways, there's no words that can really describe it. Eventually, you kind of have to say it's simply a mystery that God gives us. And I believe that's true. Recognizing the limit of words, I want to try, however, in the next few moments, to kind of talk with us about what this sacrament means. And as I talk, I trust that God will draw near to us with the Holy Spirit and fill in the meaning that words alone cannot express. First, I think we often describe the sacrament as a symbol. It is a symbol, but it's also more than that, as we will see later. But it is a symbol, and it's one of the most powerful ones I think we've ever devised. And we know what a symbol is, right? We all know that. A symbol is something physical, something tangible that represents something more than that, something spiritual, something that is intangible. And we learned early on in our lives that we need symbols, didn't we? There are some things that are so deep, so filled with meaning that it's difficult to talk about them. You simply have to experience them. And we use symbols to express those things that we find hard to say in another way. You know, we use a variety of symbols each 4th of July and Independence Day, don't we? We use fireworks and flags and salutes and people standing at attention. They're all physical ways of acting out the meaning of that day and the patriotism that we have. I wear a ring on my finger. That's a wedding ring, and it too is a symbol. In the service of marriage, at times we say the wedding ring is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, signifying to everyone that myself and Karen were joined in Christian marriage through the Church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The wedding ring, in a way now, is a way of expressing tangibly that which really cannot be put into words. So Holy Communion is a symbol, the most meaningful of symbols. It's a tangible way of pointing to the deepest, most meaningful truth that we know as Christians. That Jesus shows us that God is good and loving and forgiving, and that God has acted in the life and death and resurrection of Christ to draw us to Him and to give us the gift of abundant life that He wants us to have now. The sacrament is also a spiritual reality. It takes on a material form so that reality can be more readily received by us. And that's a symbol. Yes, Holy Communion is a symbol, but it is more than that as well. It's a drama, but it's more than that as well. Holy Communion is a means of grace. That is, it is something that we do. And by doing it, we open ourselves to meet Christ here, this morning. We meet Christ and receive all the gifts of His love. And that's grace. In other words, we are not just remembering Christ in this sacrament. We're not just remembering all the good things that God did 2,000 years ago. No, when we're having communion, something happens to us right here and now. As we remember Christ, the past becomes the present. The Jesus who lived over 2,000 years ago in Galilee and who has risen and is among us now as the living Lord, that Christ comes and meets us here and gives us the gift of grace.
Amen.
That's what we mean when we talk about a sacrament as a means of grace. It is a means by which we open ourselves to experience all of that. Communion is the epitome of grace. It is a spiritual reality coming to us of Jesus offering Himself for us. An unmerited offering to take our place. A parable that He is acting out. I hope there's no doubt. I believe with all my heart that Christ is present here today in this sacrament. And that we can meet Him and be refreshed and renewed by Him today in this sacrament. And I hope you believe that too. You know, the most deeply committed Christians I have known over my years have told me that the sacrament has come to mean more and more to them as they grow older. And I've experienced that as well. With every passing year, they tell me they have grown more in their appreciation of it and in their ability to experience the depth of it. But sadly, I think there are still those that, for whom the sacrament has never held that much meaning. They've never been able to see past the bread and the cup to the meaning that they represent and the gracious, loving, forgiving experience that is made possible. So let me try to say it in a new way. There is a sense, I think, in which a communion is like a rose. And you go, what are you talking about, Kyle? Have you hit the sacramental wine? I know it sounds strange, but let me explain. Karen and I once in an old church that we belonged to many, many years ago, we knew some members in that church who went out of their way to do some great things, nice things for people in that church. And one of the most thoughtful things that they did involved a single rosebud in a vase. A rosebud that honored the miracle of a new birth. A rosebud that was placed on a table at a hospital. One wakes up and there it is at the bedside table, greeting that person with its loveliness. Seeing it could lift one's spirits and make one feel better. And I suppose at times there were people who had said, why get excited? It's just a rose. That's all it is. It's pretty, of course, but it's going to wilt. I'll have to throw it away in a few days. It's a nice gesture, but you know, it's just a rose. But they would be wrong. Anyone who dismisses that gift so quickly has failed to see beyond the obvious. There's a deeply meaningful world of reality that that person has missed entirely. It is a rose, but it's not just a rose. It's a symbol. It was a symbol that those people gave to them, a symbol of love and concern for their friends and from their friends who sent it. It is something physical that stood for the thing that was spiritual. But it was even more than that. And it also was a means by which the lovers of the senders, the love of the senders could be experienced. Those members gave the rose, but they also gave it themselves when they gave it. In a real sense, the senders themselves are present in that rose. Present with their love and their concern. even though they are physically absent. And that is a symbol. So I hope you can understand what I'm saying about when I say the sacrament is like a rose. If that rose can be such a powerful symbol for the members of that church that we belong to, if that rose can, by means of experiencing the love and concern of those who sent it to someone, if that rose can be such that the senders can be present spiritually with their affection and concern and care, how much more can this sacrament mean for us? I hope none of us ever say, well, it's just bread and cup. And we used to have wine, but because of a great Methodist by the name of Welsh, we tend to use grape juice now. But I still hope we never say that it's only bread and juice. It's more than that. It's a tangible means by which Christ is experienced. There are reasons that so much of what is related to us in the New Testament about Christ happens during the meal. Have you ever noticed that? Some of the major events that's recorded to us in the Gospels occurred in and around a meal. A meal was a highly important function. And it was a major occasion for those that were involved. In meals, people were given nutrition, life, the ability to continue on in a very harsh environment. And that's what Christ does for us in this meal. Whenever we're hungry and spent and tired, spiritually malnourished, Christ promises us that we can come to communion for His sustenance again. He will always be present at this meal to give us what we need to continue on. Amen. When we come to this sacrament in faith, Christ meets us here and gives us what we need. One more thing. Yes, the sacrament is a symbol. Yes, it is a means of grace. It is how we get fed and renewed. But Jesus also says it is a new covenant in His blood. A new covenant. It is the covenant which is the foundation of everything that is said in the Bible of that one salvation story that God began in Genesis and continues through today. In His covenant with the people of Israel, God promised, I will be your God. I will watch over you with steadfast, dependable love. And I will provide for all your needs. And on their part, the people answered, we will be your people. We will follow you faithfully. And we will keep your commandments. That was the covenant. And it was sustained and empowered for the people of Israel for centuries. And then at the Last Supper, Christ gives us a new covenant. He said, this is a new covenant in my blood. And here's what it's about. Through His life, death, and resurrection, God reaches out to us with His love. And especially through Christ's death on the cross, God shows us just how far He will go to save us. And we experience that again and again and again every time we come to this table. But the covenant is just not about what God gives to us. It's also about the commitment that we make in return. That commitment is our part in this new covenant. And this is where much of our language comes from. Communion. Togetherness. The church. Covenant. All of that is involved. So every time we come to this table, we receive all the love that God has to give. And then we respond with the love of our own. Our part in the covenant. heart, we promise, Father, I belong to you. I receive your amazing love, and I gladly respond with love of my own. I promise to be a faithful follower of Christ so that by your grace, my life will look more and sound more like Christ. And my love to you and my love to your creation. Amen. Christ walks with us. Christ speaks to us, and Christ opened our eyes as we eat with him during this meal. As we approach the communion table here in a few minutes, I please want you to be aware that the risen Christ is here with us in our midst. As we dine at his table, we are dining with him, but this is part of the mystery, and it's hard to understand, but we are also gathering with everyone who has gone before us. They will be with us eating. Today, you will dine with St. Peter and St. Paul. You will dine with Andrew and Thomas. You will dine with John Wesley. You will dine with your great-great-grandparents. All are with us. How? That's the mystery. And God hasn't told me. But I believe that's what we will do. We don't understand all there is with this sacrament. And I think that's a good thing. Some divine happenings can only be experienced and not explained. This is not bread and juice. We are about to be fed communion by the Lord of the universe, the author of our salvation, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood and allowed his body to be broken so that we might see him and live. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Lord, renew us at the table with the bread of life. And may this food strengthen us in love and help us to serve you as we serve each other. We ask this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Be seated. Please be seated. Lift up your hearts and give thanks to the Lord our God. Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, He created us in your image to love and be loved. And yet when our love failed and yours remained steadfast, through the suffering, death, and resurrection of your only Son, Jesus Christ, you delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many in the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts through your Son Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Father, pour out your Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ returns in final victory and we all dine at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. Amen. This is Christ's table. All are welcome. You do not have to be a member of Ross Community or of the United Methodist Church. All that we ask is that you desire to be on a journey to become one with Christ and one with another. All is ready. May the communion stewards come forward.